On today's podcast, I had the opportunity to interview my friend Brooke Boone, founder of Holy Yoga, and I think you're going to love this discussion. We're talking about mixing worlds that maybe people don't think belong together, embracing new paths, and going after things that you feel inspired to do. You're going to love this conversation. Let's go. Hey friends, welcome to the Align the Good Life podcast. I'm Brooke Hemingway, and around here, we like to talk about the things that matter, like how to create soul-fulfilling success by aligning your life and taking powerful, intentional action so that you get to experience the best of what life has to offer. From business to health to letting go of limits to raising babies while building dreams to relationships and real talk, we have it all here on Align the Good Life. So let's dive in. Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast today. I am really excited about this deep conversation we're going to have today, a little juicy conversation with my beautiful friend, Brooke Boone. And I should have known that we would be friends and we would be in each other's circles because we share a beautiful mutual friend. We have the same name. We have a lot of the same passions. And I just think it's beautiful how the right people come into your life and you are able to be introduced to new people. And I just feel so blessed to know you, Brooke. A little bit about Brooke. Oh, you're welcome. A little bit about her. She is an author times two. She's a speaker, a yogi, and she is literally the creator, the brainchild behind the brand Holy Yoga. They've certified over 7,000 instructors. They're in over 100 countries. But that's not all. I mean, there's so much that I haven't known about you, Brooke, and you have extensive experience in multiple entrepreneurial pursuits and creating successful businesses and brands in multiple areas. And so I think there's so much that we can learn from you. And over the years in this community, I know we will learn so much more from you. But today we're going to dig a little bit into the Holy Yoga story. And so welcome to the show, Brooke. I'm so excited you're here.
Well, thank you so much. That is a lovely intro. So thank you. Makes me feel like all warm and fuzzy. It makes me almost feel like it hasn't been a lifetime of work getting to all those things. But thank you for having me. And my being able to talk about Holy Yoga is probably next to talking about my children is probably one of my most favorite things. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time. You know, one of the things that really stood out to me is when you talked about how our entire being matters when we look at our current realities. And a lot of that has to do with our spirituality, our physical health, our emotional health. And I'm sure there's parts of that element that tie back to Holy Yoga. And so I'd love if you would just share, you know, a little bit about how you even thought of that concept, how you came into Holy Yoga. I know there's a whole story behind it. And I just know everyone here is going to love to hear it. And I'm excited for you to share.
Okay. Well, thank you. I mean, telling the Holy Yoga story is a little like, a lot like telling my own story. Because we create out of need. Especially when I was younger, I created out of need. I create more out of purpose now, but I needed a community. Yeah. That I could fit into. I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. I was a Christian yogi. I had grown up Jewish and not Christian. So I was new to my faith, but I knew about yoga too. And I'd fallen in love with yoga before I'd fallen in love with Jesus. And so to put those two things together, I was brave enough to do it, I'll say now. Yeah. Bringing those two things together without a solid foundation in Christ was a lot. You know, so it's a little about telling my own story. But back to the original question, because I think it's a really great one in terms of any type of business or personal development and growth, there are four facets of our being: heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what the Bible calls it. You would call it emotional, you would call it intellectual, you would call it physical, and you would call it spiritual. So all four of those things matter. They matter equally. And so much emphasis, especially in Western culture, is on the body, whether we're too big or too small. Yeah. It really, that whole body thing is about how much space we're allowing ourselves to take up in the world. We're not confident in who we are, we're underconfident or overconfident, it will manifest in our body. It just will, because what we think, what we believe, what we tell ourselves, what we put in ourselves, it all manifests in the body. But there's an overemphasis on the body. So oftentimes in Western culture, and we start to think that maybe it is the most important thing because we work with the body, we create with the body, we extend ourselves in reality through the body, but it is just one part of the three other parts of us that are unseen.
Yeah.
And so my whole thing with you know, holy yoga and creating a community where it was okay to say all of these parts matter, but three parts I can't see. And so I want to leave space in a practice in my own reality where all of the unseen places have the same space at the table.
Yeah.
So I built it and you know, yoga for me is always, it's a spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
Yoga is like prayer or thanksgiving or the practice of gratitude or fasting. All of those can be done by any religion.
Yep.
But it, because it's a spiritual practice, it's what your intention is behind the discipline. And so yoga for me was inherently Christian.
Yeah.
It was inherently the place where the God who met all the needs, who loves me, heart, soul, mind, and strength, he has the capacity, our spirituality, whatever that is for anybody, yes, let me just say that, whatever you call God, whatever you call infinite love, whatever you call the thing that is beyond you that you desperately need inside of you, whatever you call that, the something more, like, shoot, now I lost my train of thought.
Well,
you know me, you'll know I do that too.
So I love it. No, but I think that was like you were on to a beautiful point, which is that we're all needing to connect to something more outside of us. We are a physical body, and this is the vessel in which we experience our life. But we all need connection to something outside of ourselves that we can't see and physically touch.
Absolutely. And what I would go a step further and to say that whatever is inside of you is coming out of you. So if you are in overflow, people around you will know that you're in overflow. Yeah. If you are scraping by with scraps because you have nothing left, people outside of you will know that. And we've got this like incomplete gospel where we go, we got to serve. No, you got to get filled.
Yeah.
You got to be served first, and not by others, but by yourself.
Yeah.
By God, by your creator, by your sustainer, by your spirituality. So when we, holy yoga, I remember it came back to me, but holy yoga for me is always inherently Christian or inherently spiritual, because the God who loves me in all these ways wants to meet with me in all of these ways.
Yes.
If I can give him a space, I know you love your treadmill. I don't know if you love it, but I know you're
I love using my physical body because my physical body is the way that I commune with God. I don't know how you can be spiritual and not physical. I feel like the physicality connects me to that other part that I can't physically see or touch.
Yes. And not only that, when we talk about trauma, when we talk about living.
Yeah.
You know, like trauma is a big word. You know, trauma is defined in the dictionary by any disturbing or disquieting event.
So like every day, basically.
Come on. That's my point, is that we have chronic trauma. People are like, no, but my trauma is more important than your trauma. I got bigger trauma, right? Like crazy stuff. But I'm telling you that our bodies hold space. You know, our bodies keep score. And so when we are communing with God in the unseen places, he's writing our minds, R-I-G-H-T. He's writing our emotions. He's aligning God, spirit, whatever is aligning itself to your highest good. So what is inside our bodies? It can be old stuff and we're wearing it. We're holding it. We're keeping it. And I think when we understand that everything is spiritual and that God is always healing, like it's always your day on the mat, right? Like by the paralytic on the mat, I mean, it's always your day. Do you want to get up? Do you want to heal? God did all the things in 3 days, and we think somehow he has forgotten. He can't do anything with our 3 weeks, our 3 months, our 3 year commitment, right? So I feel like every day is sort of that transformational opportunity, but we have to be aware that it's holistic. It's not just
one. And what I'm hearing you describe too is that, you know, we're not really like different little segments, and like, here's this segment of our life in this little piece. And then over here in this box is this, and over here in this box is this. And so your spirituality fits in this box, your religious practice or spirituality, like it's that's going to church, saying your prayers. It's like all the classic things. And what you're saying, which I fully, fully believe, is that everything is spiritual. And I don't think that God wants us to separate. He doesn't want us to separate our business. He doesn't want us to separate our bodies. He doesn't want us to separate our love or our marriages. Like, all things are spiritual, and separating them out, it almost like pits them against each other.
That's you're
putting right. your priorities against each other. Right. And then you might even start to think, well, I'm more spiritual than this person because I do these spiritual things, right? And it's this, you know, it's this like hierarchy. And what if it's not a hierarchy? What if it's just, you know,
it's all together. We do that. We like the fall has us looking at ourselves, has us looking at God differently, has us looking at self other differently, has us looking at others differently. And it is splintered. It is fractured. When God says love before the fall, he doesn't say you need to love me in all these ways. It was only after, once there was some disintegration, some kink in the hose, some break, God goes, hey, I'm going to love you with heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says, love me with those, but he only asks us to love him with what he has already loved us with. So we got to know, when we're asked to love him with our mind, he is going to love our mind first. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Why? Because he changes our heart. So he has no problem giving you your desires if he has done the work in your heart, right? Like, of course he's going to, because why wouldn't he? But it's, you're the work first.
You're
the mind. You're the heart, you're the emotions, you're the body that needs to heal. And we are all so unique. I always say, like, you are not broken. And so you do not need fixing, but you are living on this side of grace. And that means that you need healing.
Yes.
It is the universal truth of all people in all ways. I don't care who you are. If you are living and breathing, you need healing.
Yes.
Because you were born into dysfunction. Holla, right? You got seven generations coming with you. You are like, you have no shot.
Well, I don't know if you've ever read the book by, it's Dr. Carolyn Leaf. Oh my gosh. What's the book?
All of them. I've read all of them. The change your mind one.
Yes. Yes. It's the one about changing your mind, and it's escaping me right now, but it's all about epigenetics, and it's about the science of epigenetics and how, you know, all the things that have happened in the past, you know, those are passed down in our DNA and in our RNA, and even our thoughts, the things that we think, you know, our emotional illnesses, those things that we struggle with are affecting our bodies on a cellular level. And so everything to me, it's just always intrinsically made sense that it's all connected. And I don't know if you know this about me, but when I got married when I was really young, I was 19, almost 20. It's a miracle, right? We're still here, and we're actually doing great. You know, thank the Lord for that. But one of the things that I started practicing when I was young and married and I was raised Christian was yoga. And I actually did, you know, 200 hours worth of training.
Oh, awesome.
I came to do it because for me, I had a lot of emotional challenges. I had a lot of anxiety and I had a lot of depression. And I felt like God met me on the mat. So people come to me or say things, because it's still out there. You know, sometimes I'll get comments, like someone commenting on Instagram, it looks like you're doing some yoga there. Have you asked God about it? And I just
think, sure have.
Sure, absolutely.
Thanks for asking.
Sure have. Exactly. Exactly. Because God meets us where we need to be.
Yes.
And so for me, I really was met there, and it became this beautiful tool that helped me to slow down. to be able to feel loved, to feel the inspiration I needed to feel, and to be able to do healing. And so
the breath, the prioritization of the breath, right? Like that's the extension of God's wisdom or whatever spirit, whatever, you know, it's the extension. It is the, I love, well, three, back to holy yoga for a moment. Yes. There are three components that make up yoga. It's the breath work, mm-hmm. the meditation, and the movement. So while people say, oh, there, you can't do yoga, it's like, well, God tells me to breathe.
Yes.
God tells me to meditate, and God tells me to move. And if he is in me and for me and never against me, then anywhere I place myself, knowing that under the authority of God, his word and praise and thanksgiving, as the Bible tells us, I'm secure. Yeah. I don't step into or onto my yoga mat and all the demons pop up. It's like the demons are like, I in the bed when I woke up this morning, brushing my teeth, my thoughts, right? Like, I don't need to find the demon. The demons don't need to find it on the yoga mat. Amen. They can find it if they want, but they can't, because I'm covered, because I know who I am. And so in the safety of that knowing too on your mat, you allowed yourself to be met.
Yes.
And on your runs, I'm sure you have emotional responses and releases and 100%. Epiphanies, right? Because there is a renewal of your spirit. It's the breath of God. I always say that the breath is the grace of God. It's the exhale, and it extends to you what you need for the next 30 seconds of your life.
Yeah.
That I dare you to try and store up your breath. I dare you. You can't, because the grace of God is for the moment. It is the extension of the wisdom of God breathed into our very DNA, gives us absolutely everything to nourish every cell and everything in our body, every neurosynapse, every gut, everything. And then magically it converts to then carry everything that would kill us out of our bodies.
Yeah. You know, it's really
to do it again and again and again. So the prioritization of that with the meditation and the movement is so exponential. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it is. And just thinking about, you know, breath, like, you know, oxygen is really, it is a gift from God. And breath, you know, the scriptures talk about the breath of life. And without oxygen, like, disease flourishes.
Yes.
Disease cannot flourish in the presence of oxygen. That is a scientific truth. A well-oxygenated body is a body in which disease does not flourish. And I believe the Lord wants us to prosper, and he wants us to thrive, and he wants us to be successful, and he wants us to be healthy and not broken, like you talked about. And so breath being that first step, you know, that first pillar in yoga is essential, because literally this has the power to release things from your mind and release things from your body, is what you're saying. Because in the presence of breath, in the presence of oxygen, disease and degeneration and all of these things that hold us back or weigh us down, it can't exist. And to me, I don't think there's anything more beautiful than that. That is a gift from God.
Amen. I know I'm not supposed to say that. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. I just can't help it. It's just part of who I am. So sorry.
I love it.
I'm admitting over here ourselves. Yes. If only we talk, no one else hears.
I know. But the three parts of holy yoga, right? Yes. Meditation and movement. I kind of want to back up to, like, okay, you're raised Jewish. You become a Christian. Yeah. You've already been practicing yoga. You decide you're going to start this movement, this community, really. What does that look like to step out there and start doing that? How did you decide, you know, how you were going to build it, and how did you get people to come along?
Oh, girl, I don't know. I think I just, well, let me back up. There's so much good little nuggets, because the holy yoga started way before I agreed to it. We'll just say that, you know, like when God has an idea, like he's dragging me along. So, married at the time. I'm about to give birth to, back up. Got married, had three children by 30. So I'll start there. My first son, Jory, I was pregnant with him. He's now 23. I went and got trained right after I gave birth to him. So I went to Tulum. I got my training. I and I made it my business. Came home, young mother, 23, started a yoga studio. Got invited to be a part of my first book, which was Hatha Yoga Illustrated. And they wanted me to just do the modeling, like for the pictures. And then one of the authors fell out and they were like, hey, do you want to? I'm like 24, totally green. Like, I don't even know. I don't love Jesus at this point. I'm barely hanging on for all the reasons, but outside it looks like it's thriving, right? You know that, you know that whole thing, right? Yeah. So falling apart on the inside, but looks good on the outside, published my first book, had another son. But like my life completely fell apart. Between my first and second sons. Like, that's a whole nother kind of conversation.
A whole nother life, right?
A whole nother life. I don't even remember it. I can't even. So my whole life, and I literally walked into a church. Literally walked in. I didn't have a car. I mean, I'm an adult. I'm using air quotes. I'm an adult, but I don't have a car. Okay, this is how bad it is. So I walk into this church and it's only worship. And I'm like demanding of God. Like, if you are real, you better show me. Like, right? Like, hands up.
Yeah.
I had recently told somebody, like maybe a week earlier, like to not limit herself to one book when she told me that she had become a Christian. So like, this is where I am, right? This is what God was dealing with. So I go out and it's pouring down rain and I live in Arizona. Like that doesn't happen, right? I'm like, what is this? So I can't even go anywhere because I walk to the dang church, right? Like this whole thing. And I see that there's a table of Bibles on the table, like out in the church. I don't realize that you can have one of the Bibles. They're like paper Bibles. So I slide, I kid you not, Brooke. I slide up to the table and I slide one of these Bibles up underneath my shirt. Okay, girl, I'm not kidding you. And I stick it in the front of my pants because I'm like, I want to read the Bible, right? I don't think I can ask for it. I have to steal it from the church.
Right.
And this woman comes up to me and she says, I feel like the Lord is telling me that I need to give you a ride home. And I was like, no, you don't. Cause I clearly have
a Bible in your shirt.
This isn't going to work out for me. I don't know. This is dangerous territory. But she wound up giving me a ride home. And on the way home, I got my loot still, you know, secured. I don't get found out, but she tells me that she is leaving and that she's going to Indiana and I'll never see her again. And I went upstairs to my empty studio apartment and I opened the Bible for the first time to Isaiah 61 and I read it. And I heard the voice of the Lord for the first time. And he said, I gave you a ride home.
Wow.
Asked me to provide, to show you if I was real. And I met a very real need. You needed a ride home. And I was like, okay. And I literally opened it and I read it voraciously. I was like, oh my gosh. And I just read it. I read I was so hungry for it. And then the Lord started to put my life back together. Yeah. So fast forward, I'm pregnant with my third. She will be 18 on May 1st. I graduated our first class of 7 instructors a month before I gave birth.
Yeah.
Before that, I had no money. We were so broke. We were living in like a town home. I mean, we risked everything and we put every penny we had into a business that was a really interesting, awesome thing. But we had no money. And at the time, my ex and I did not share an email account, but I kept getting these emails from a book agent. Now, I'm not looking to do a book, girl. Like, I don't even, I mean, I got 2 babies. I got another one. I'm like, I don't need a book.
No.
I go like 8 months pregnant to a lunch because these emails keep floating around. And finally, I can't not respond. Yeah. And he says, we want to do a book on Christian yoga. And I'm like, well, I'm a little tied up here. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a little tied up. And he says, well, you know, is there something we can do? And I said, well, I have like these 3 things. Like, I need money. I need a foreword. Okay. Yeah. I don't even know where this came from, Brooke. Like, I don't, well, like I'm some like big deal, like author. Yeah. I need a foreword, right? So I said, go forward. I need a ghostwriter because I have a baby and I want it to be called Holy Yoga. I want the book to be called Holy Yoga. I walked out of there, waddled out of there, and I thought, well, I'll never hear from that guy again, right? And the very next day, the Lord would give us the opportunity to do Holy Yoga, call it Holy Yoga, give me a forward of $25,000, which was the absolute seed money for Holy Yoga. I had no money. I couldn't even buy milk for the mac and cheese. Amen. Okay. It was no milk. It was water in the mac and cheese. Okay. Like there was no milk in the mac and cheese. And so I had no money, but the Lord would give us everything.
Generously.
Yeah, generously. And so I was able to build it, and that's the way we built it. And I one foot in front of the other, and we just started training. And then, like you said, it kind of, you know, it's 17 years old, almost 18 years old. It's been through a number of iterations. But it was, the Lord wanted it done way before I knew he wanted it done, you know?
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking as you're talking, and I have little goosebumps thinking about this. One of the things that, and I'm so passionate about this too. Like I actually throughout, you know, I used to teach fitness. Like I was a fitness instructor and taught yoga and like all the different things. I was in the fitness industry for a lot of years. And I always in my mind was thinking like, man, somebody needs to create something that's like more like spiritual yoga or yoga with, you know, God in it or yoga with Jesus in it. And like yeah, like holy, yeah, exactly. Like I always thought that because I was really kind of like the only person in my circles that really practiced yoga. I think now it's like a lot more accepted, although there are still a lot of pockets of people in Christianity that don't understand it. And they think it's a religion. Yoga is not a religion. It's a practice. And here's where I think it is so beautiful and such a gift to be practicing holy yoga or yoga with God or Jesus involved in it. Is that when, you know, a lot of people practice Christianity, they're practicing like a list Christianity, like a box checking Christianity. Like I go to church, I say my prayers, I give service, and they're like checking the boxes of doing, but they're never being with God.
Yes.
And human and being. Human is our physical self, our ego, all these things. Being is spirit. And God, and we need both the human and the being. And there's nothing wrong with going to church, saying your prayers, you know, giving service, paying your tithes, like all of that stuff. But what about just the being aspect? I believe that God or spirit, whatever that is for you, wants to be with you. And it's really hard to be with you if you're always busy being over here, being the martyr Christian.
Doing. Yeah. The doing hijacks the being.
Yes.
It's like the knowledge hijacks the heart, you know, like and I think we were talking earlier, just let me back up for just a moment, because the breath is this thing that does this illumination. And I always say specifically in somatic practices, but also in entrepreneurship and also in leadership development, it's like, if it's up, it's ready to come out, right? If you somatically feel something, if you're breathing and God is doing the things in the unseen that you have no business doing, that is God's business doing, but you have these things that come up and you start to feel, what happens all the time is that we want to know why it's happening. So our knowing, our need to know, our need to keep ourselves compartmentalized, because what God is doing is holding us.
Yeah.
He's putting us together in these practices where he's doing all these things. And then all of a sudden we have to get involved and we have to know what's going on. Why do I feel this way? What is this? Where does it to come from? Is it my mom? Is it my grandmother? Is it like, we start to story because we have this intense need to know.
Yes.
And it is the absolute hijack from the garden.
Yes.
We know more than God. Do you know God is doing something? God is at work and omnipresent. And so it's this ability when we do the breath work, we have to be really careful about the meditation and the movement because it's holistic. God is going to come. He's going to stir some stuff up. The breath, the oxygen is going to illuminate some of the debris, the dis-ease, the places where we're not alive. And that will somatically transfer. That will transfer in your emotions. That will transfer in new thoughts. But watch the hijack. That's see what happens is we are our whole destiny, our whole creation is about being with God. We were never separate.
Yeah.
But immediately when we separate from God, what happens? We're doing.
Yes.
So it's the hijack of doing. We are created to be still, quiet, held, confident.
Yes.
All the things that rest affords us, but we don't do it. We get, and even in the process of doing the work and transformation, we need to know.
Yeah.
We need to know it all. We got to figure it out. We're going to write it in our journal. And unless we write it, it won't transmute. It's like, if it is up, it is ready.
Yeah.
Right? So also not containing, like not hijacking ourselves, because that's as classic as, I mean, that's as old as it gets. It's the garden.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will get attacked by your thoughts 1,000 times. Do you know more than God? That's the question. That's the question that keeps anxiety fueled, depression fueled. You do not. Let me answer it for you.
You do not.
No, you have. You will never know what God forgot in 6 seconds.
You know, like this much. You know, it's not. It's not even a centimeter. You know, on the timeline. And I just feel like the thing that I want, you know, people to maybe have their hearts open to, if you're not already practicing yoga or you've never heard of holy yoga, is like you talked about, breath is the grace of God. You know, it's the essence and grace of God. Meditation is essentially just allowing yourself to be quiet, to be still, to be present in that moment. And we are commanded to be present and to be still and to listen. And meditation is, let him come in and like transform your thoughts and transform your heart and let go of things that need to be let go of and create that healing. And so in holy yoga, what does a meditation look like? Is it, people are going to be listening. They're going to be like, well, how is the class different? Like, do we actually do yoga? Do we mostly meditate? Is there music
and
drums? Like, what does this look like?
Is there a choir? Like, what's happening?
Music, yoga? Like, what is this?
Okay. It's a great question. So the great thing is that there are so many of us that express this amazing practice exactly and uniquely as we all should. So if you were a holy yoga instructor, you would do it your unique way and you would bring yourself the way that we train. I'll say that we don't have a set thing. So you're always going to get something a little bit different. The playlist will be different. The meditation will be different. The scripture will be different, but there will always be scripture, prayer, thanksgiving and gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that is what consecrates worship to God. That's what the scriptures are really clear about. So it's thanksgiving, the word of God, and praise and worship. And so that's what you'll expect. So a typical class for me, I teach all kinds of yoga. I love teaching a vinyasa flow. Sometimes it's holy yoga, sometimes it's not. So holy yoga class is no different than a regular yoga class for me when I teach it. The playlist is different. And the fact that I get to say scripture is so awesome and so amazing. And they're always so much more powerful because the word of God present, it makes manifest. And so energetically, it just is a different vibe, not a woo-woo vibe, not a scary vibe, but like I'm in church vibe. Like the Lord is present. Like I am feeling, I am sensing, and it's consecrated by prayer, thanksgiving, and the word of God. And so,
exactly.
Yeah. I expect to be wowed. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't, and there's all different, you know, not style, well, styles, but like levels. So maybe a level one, or a yin, or a restorative. So regardless of where people tap into their holy yoga communities, every instructor teaches how they want to and when they want to and what level they want to.
I love that there aren't strict confinements, because I feel like also sometimes with religion, it can be difficult because everybody worships in a little bit of a different way. You know, if you grew up in the inner city, your worship is going to look very, very different from an upper class white person or somebody that grew up in Mexico or wherever it is. And so to be able to give people that sort of creative, intuitive flow that they can teach it in their style, it's really that the essence and intention of holy yoga is to bring, you know, God's presence or spirit into that space so that you can experience more healing, you can experience more light, you can release things that need to be released, and just feel
You think about inviting the word of God, inviting the breath of God. And so there's so much invitation. And when you seek God, you find him. He's not a God that plays hide and seek, right? So we just want to hold space for the coming.
Yeah.
And then you have a community that's commit. I mean, it's like any church or any group, right? Where you have a commonality specifically in spiritual situations. There is just so much more. There's a richness and a depth that just comes with just being part of something like that, you know?
There is a depth, and it's just so interesting and cool. You know, as we wrap this up, I'll just share, like, over the last year, I've really been wanting to be connected with women that have that kind of depth. Like, I'm all about, you know, boss it up, be successful, like make a lot, like, yes, absolutely. 100%. Because I really believe on that spiritual sort of faith aspect side of it, that we were created to be abundant and prosper. And like, that is our birthright, you know, prosperity. But I've been really craving more communities and women that are just like, yeah, this is my practice. This is what I believe. This is just as natural as the air I breathe. And that's kind of what I feel is holy yoga. And I am so excited that you're going to be coming. You yourself are coming to Align, which is alignment. Finding your alignment, or I should say realigning, because again, it's not about finding, it's just about refining and realigning. You're going to be there leading holy yoga. And the most beautiful part about this, for those of you listening and coming, and those of you who haven't gotten your ticket yet, make sure that you're there. You essentially get to kick off the day. Those of you that are going to be there, you get to start off with this experience. And I have felt in my heart, and I have this poster on my wall that says, I have seen the goodness of God. I have just felt in my heart, this is an expansive year. Like, this is a year for people to come into this room and change like never before, to let go of things and to allow other things into their life. And so I know it's going to be the perfect practice and is so in alignment with me. And I'm just so grateful that you're going to be a part of it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so honored. I really can't wait. I haven't done an event. So for those of you who I know through Holy Yoga community that are listening and are close to San Antonio, or even if you're not close to San Antonio, I would love for you to come and to join me. I would love to see some of my community. So if that's you, you're personally invited, and you'll see some stuff from Holy Yoga coming out about it, but please consider it. The lineup is incredible. I selfishly, just so you guys know how this came about, I text Brooke and I said, hey, so who's teaching your yoga at Align? Because I was fishing, and she graciously responded with, I was thinking about you.
Well, I'm very much like an experience person. Like, I love to create an experience that feels immersive, because just like yoga, it's like, I want people to come into this space, number one, and feel loved. Yeah. I want them to feel seen. I want them to feel capable. I want them to feel empowered in the truest sense of the word. And I feel like empowered is thrown around like, it's thrown around, and it's not true empowerment. Like, I want people to feel soul deep empowerment. And so this event really is about releasing and unlocking and allowing you to break through. And I know that combining holy yoga with this event is just divine. Like, it's absolutely divine. And I just love how God works and how he shows up, and he puts people together, and everything is just miraculously falling into place. And I just couldn't be more grateful. So where can people find a holy yoga instructor? Because I know after this, so many in my community of all different faiths, or no faith at all, they are going to want to be in a holy yoga room.
Yes. Well, I love that. Holyyoga.net is the main site. And then you can just, it says find an instructor, or maybe you are an instructor and you want to become a holy yoga instructor. Maybe you're interested in training. Like, that's what we do. We train, and then we help to support and sustain people. Like, we are really about lifting everyone else up. So that's what we do. If you're interested, you can find a place. Like I said, there's thousands of us all over the United States doing it. So
amazing. So holyyoga.net.
Yeah, holyyoga.net. And we also have, for those of you who are not, like, maybe you don't want to be in a classroom yet. You're like, I'm not, I can't even touch my toes. Well, first of all, the perfect candidate. If you're the one that's like, I can't even touch my toes, then great, perfect. You've already qualified yourself. But we also have Holy Yoga TV, which is so amazing because we've got probably 40 different instructors on there doing all kinds of different practices, some with weights, some restorative, some yin, some breath, some meditation, some Bible studies, kind of all over the place. So you should be able to find what you're looking for at holyyoga.net. And then, of course, Align.
Yes, of course. And if you want to be in that room, you go to alignevents.live.com and you can grab your ticket. Most of the audience actually is not from San Antonio. I am like very creative and sort of all over the place kind of energy, that I love adventure. And so every year we go somewhere different. And this is our first year in San Antonio. So people always get excited because they get to go to a different city and there's always a different energy in a different city. Yes. But what I wanted to say that I can sense about Holy Yoga, if you go to Holy Yoga TV or holyyoga.net and you're listening to this podcast, is that I feel like a big part of this mission of Holy Yoga is just to bring more light and hope into the world too. And I love that it's expressed by all different people in all different ways, but it all comes back to that light of the Lord. It just comes back to that light that's already within us, that's always been within us. And when we awaken that light and we activate that light, anything is possible in our bodies, in our relationships, in our businesses, and in our life. And so even if you're not a religious person, we're all spiritual people. And I have loved, Brooke, that in my room, I can have an atheist and I can have a Mennonite and everybody in between and everyone feels comfortable. It is that kind of room. And I sense that Holy Yoga is that kind of yoga as well.
Exactly like that. Yes. And so I'm excited. I'll just say thank you for the invitation as we wrap up, but also to actually move people in their body as they're being moved through their transformation with all the events of the day. I think it's just such a whole package, all the things. I think if you really come to Align and you really do what's laid out for you, you will not transform. You can't not.
Essentially, don't skip any of it. Just tap into all of it. So one more question. I ask this question of all of my guests on the podcast. It's called Align the Good Life. And so my question to you is, what does it mean to you to live the good life?
Oh, wow. Gosh, that's such like a hard question. What does it mean to live the good life?
Yeah. To you, what is living the good life?
I think present to process. I think that's the good life. I don't think it's always good. I'm in a really good season right now, so I could tick off like a number of things, right? To tell you what it feels like to be living a good life. But I've lived a good life in really bad seasons. So I think part of that, the strategy of making sure I can get through all of that, and it's all good looking back, right? Even in the hard things, it's the presence. So I think that would be my answer to live in the presence.
Live in the present and have that perspective, right? Because when you are,
this shall pass. Yeah. And even good things, like I'm looking at my window and I'm like, this too shall pass. Like all things.
Yes.
So
it's finding that gratitude, right? That gratitude and that peace in any season that allows you to be present. So I love that so much. I love you. I'm so excited to see you in January. And I'm so excited for everyone here to get connected to Holy Yoga. It's holyyoga.net or Holy Yoga TV. And of course, you can see us at Align in January. Thank you so much, Brooke.
Oh, thank you so much. See you guys soon.
Hey, you guys. So I got to tell you, Align is the conference to be in 2024. If you haven't been in this room, it's a room you've got to experience. And if you have been in this room, you know what I'm talking about. We're talking about transformation, breakthrough, new strategy, new levels
of unlocking your potential, releasing limitations, being around high vibe people and entrepreneurs that are also chasing after their dreams. It's also about finding your alignment, because your alignment is not my alignment, is not her alignment, is not anyone else's alignment. And so often in today's world, especially with social media, with entrepreneurship, sometimes we get kind of confused. We start to think, well, maybe I should do what she's doing or what he's doing, or maybe that's the priority I should have. And at Align, we're not trying to crank you out into all being the same kind of entrepreneur going after the same thing. What I'm really trying to do is help you to tune into your own alignment, what's true for you, what you need to do, trying to help you to realize that when you get your life into alignment, all of the doors of opportunity and possibility unlock for you. This is the most powerful, transformative conference you'll attend in 2024, and tickets are on sale now. In fact, I want to invite you to go to alineeventslive.com and check out our speaker lineup. It's not even complete yet, you guys. We have the most power-packed speaker lineup of traditional entrepreneurs, non-traditional entrepreneurs, speakers, mentors, coaches. I'm telling you, we have billionaires, millionaires, moms, dads. We have the whole gamut, you guys, and you are gonna wanna be in that room. So head on over to alineeventslive.com. Check out the show notes, because I have a special discount that's just for my loyal podcast listeners, where you can save up to $200 on your ticket. I just love you guys. I love this community. I love this event. It's my heart and soul, and it's my greatest desire to help you to break through to new levels and new heights in 2024. So get yourself in that room. It'll be one decision you'll never regret. Thanks for listening into the podcast today. If you loved it, a review, rating, and share on social would be epic and helps in spreading the word. Everything I create is in the hopes of helping you advance your life, energy, and business.